Dogs are, they're amazing, and they can help people in many different ways, including saving lives. They are therapy dogs and service dogs. And we are joined by an expert here, over 50 years in training dogs, Carol Borden. But you look young. So,
oh,
Carol, I don't know how it's 50 years, but 50 years in this industry in some capacity. And so you are the CEO of Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, Tina.
And you've stopped by because you went to the Army Ball at the Westin, and you work with veterans, which is the reason that you are here. And you work with people all over the country to get them service dogs. And you brought Huey today. Huey's hanging out with us. He's kind of quiet right now. He did find something, though, that he liked in the back of the studio. I think I left a sandwich or something there. And then he kind of calmed down. We're joined, though, by Huey, who is a service dog, a medical service dog, right? And then Wendy is with us also. Wendy Richards, she's traveling with you. She's the chief development officer. But Wendy, you've been doing this for quite a while now, right?
I have been, yes. I've started my organization 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so we have been doing a lot of work. We have over 200 veterans paired across the United States, all successfully working with their service dogs. And we keep a large number. We currently have 87 dogs in training. At any given time, we keep a number like that because we have such an enormous demand for the services that we provide. We have up to 40 inquiries a day for one of our service dogs, mm-hmm. and our waiting list is never less than 200 people. So there's a lot of folks out there. You know, we have about 56 million people across the United States with disabilities. We predominantly take care of our veterans, and we have 2.2 million of our veterans that have combat injuries of some type. So we deal quite a bit with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, mobility challenges, a lot of different problems in which we can teach the dog to do specific skills to mitigate those challenges that they have.
So these are medical service dogs. This is different. There are dogs who help people who are not sighted, blind people, and then there are therapy dogs. These are specific, though, medical service dogs. They have kind of different duties, right?
Yes, and I'm so glad you brought that up because that is a huge gray area for a lot of the population. There are emotional support dogs, therapy dogs, service dogs. Emotional support dogs are simply a companion animal. I mean, gosh, all animals, all dogs give mm-hmm. emotional support at some level. But they've never been trained with the skill sets necessary to qualify them as a federally protected service animal. A therapy dog, again, greatly confused with service dogs, those are those great friendly animals that go into hospitals and nursing homes, and they bring a lot of sunshine to mm-hmm. the people there, and they get to pet them and love on them. And then at the end of the day, those dogs go home with their mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Again, they don't have a set of skills specific to an individual. Whereas a service dog, while there's many different types, there's hearing impairment dogs, the leader dogs for the blind, we train all sorts of different things, PTSD, TBIs, diabetic alert, seizure alert, a lot of different types of ailments that someone may have. And these are all service dogs. They're all different types of service dogs. And what makes them different is they're like having a piece of medical equipment. It just mm-hmm. happens to have a heartbeat.
Right. And a lot of love, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, yeah, some of the services that the dogs provide, you know, they help you if you're in kind of an emergency situation. They can do that, right? If you're diabetic, if you have PTSD. Can you describe what goes on with the medical service dog if someone has a need that arises?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Let's talk about PTSD for starters. We see a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder in our combat veterans. Unfortunately, the statistics currently are 32 to 39 of our veterans are attempting suicide every single day. Mm. And 22 of those end in death. It's because they haven't been able to get all the help they need. You know, while they should be and most are going for therapies and on different types of medications, it still just doesn't seem to be enough. So what we do is we train the dogs to identify the anxiety attacks, the flashbacks, and one of the biggest issues that they are all plagued with are reoccurring nightmares. Our dogs actually know the difference between a good dream and a nightmare, and they're able to intervene and mm-hmm. stop that nightmare before it goes full-blown mm-hmm. so that our folks can start getting a full night's sleep. Because when they suffer from sleep deprivation, which most of them do before coming to us, maybe get a couple of hours of sleep at night, well, of course, that exasperates their other conditions by day with the anxiety, the panic attacks, the flashbacks. So not only do our dogs learn to identify and stop those nightmares, they also work with the anxiety attacks and flashbacks that may be happening during the day. A great example of that was something that happened not too long ago. This was actually one of our first responders that we had paired a dog with. This young man, as a police officer, had been kidnapped and tortured and beaten, and he had a hood over his face the whole entire time, so he couldn't even see his attackers coming at him or what was happening. It was terrifying, horrible, horrible experience for him. And of course, after that, he had to retire and suffered greatly with post-traumatic stress disorder. And we did pair a dog with him, and he was able to start doing a whole lot better. But this one day, he and his two-year-old son were playing on the bed and just goofing off like kids and parents do. And the little boy threw the sheet over his head. Mm-hmm. Instant flashback for him. And he didn't know where he was. And all of a sudden, all he could think of was fighting for his life. He was back in that horrific moment. And immediately, his service dog jumped in between, started licking his face, and he was brought back down to the here and now. Mm-hmm. And he said it was terrifying to think what might have happened had he not had his service dog right there.
These service dogs save lives.
And absolutely.
They can help people also with mobility issues. So if you can't bend down to pick something up, they can help you with that, right?
Absolutely. We teach them to pick up any dropped item, mm-hmm. open and close doors. They can bring you food and water from the refrigerator. They can turn on and off lights.
Wow.
If you were unconscious mm-hmm. or couldn't get up and you needed additional help, they know, even without being told, to go hit a special 911 button mm-hmm. to summon help.
That's amazing. They are trained specifically kind of for the task that they're going to be doing with the person, right, that they're going to.
Correct. They go through many phases of training, mm-hmm. Which include socialization, desensitization, confidence building, all of their basic obedience and public access, because they have to get used to all the things that happen in public environments, because it's not always normal to a dog anyway.
Yeah.
But in the end, when we do the advanced skill training, we've already learned a lot about the personality of this dog and what he likes to do best. And so we enhance those things. That's where we go with it. It's just like people. Not everyone can be a rocket scientist, and our society also needs accountants and trash collectors. Mm-hmm. But we don't train them all across the board to do the same thing. And that's the way we look at our dog training as well. The dog presents to us what they enjoy doing, and that's what we develop. And so in the end, when we do the advanced skill training, we also are working with the recipients on the flip side. And so we know what their energy levels are, what their needs are, what their disabilities are, what their hobbies are, what their family life is like. There's all these many, many variables that we end up putting together, and we can then pick the most appropriate dog and finish his training knowing that we're going to pair him with that particular individual.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a lot of work, too. You must be busy all the time. You travel all the time, I wanted to mention also. So you are traveling to different parts of the country, and then people, they're coming to you as well so that they can train with their dog once they do get placed with a dog, right?
Correct. You know, people think that training a service dog is like an obedience course for a few
right.
weeks. Not
right.
the case.
No.
You know, it takes about 2 years for us to train these dogs. We're working with the recipients at the same time. When the dog is ready, we fly the recipient in from any part of the country, wherever they may be, and they spend 10 days with us at our campus with an individual trainer who's working with them, teaching them how to bond with their dog, how to ask their dog to do the things they need it to do, so that once they leave there, they feel pretty confident. And you have to remember, some of the people that we see have really severe issues. We have had people that have been self-isolated in their own home up to 25 years. We have had people that have not been out of their own bedroom in 6 months. Mm. So for them to come to us is a huge step. And so we work with them every day, and we integrate them back into their families, back into their communities. And it doesn't stop there. After the 10 days of training, we follow up with these teams for the life of the team. So we see them, talk to them at least quarterly. And so that means going all over the United States and visiting with them, making sure that they're doing well, if the dog needs any more training. Sometimes they get complacent and untrain the dogs a little bit. So we continue to work with them on all of those aspects.
See, so that's very committed. So once you are responsible for the dog, you follow that responsibility through when the dog is placed and how they're doing later on. I mean, it's a for life type of relationship.
It is for life. And you have to remember, too, unfortunately, the dogs don't have as long of a lifespan as a human, typically. And so they may actually need several service dogs throughout their lifetime. So we want to make sure the teams are working well, that the individuals understand what the responsibility is of having a service dog and how that improves their life. And it's not just their life. It's the lives of their families, their caregivers, their communities.
Right. So if you would like to help people, help veterans, you can help Carol by volunteering, donating. What can people do to get
Absolutely.
Involved?
Absolutely. There is no government funding, and insurance doesn't pay for the work that we do. Yet it costs us about $25,000 to produce one of these dogs, taking it from start to finish and all the things we do afterwards, and we donate them. So in order for us to follow our mission, it requires donors, corporate sponsors, fundraisers. A lot of different things go into it to help us afford this mission and continue to grow the number of dogs that we put out there. We have an enormous waiting list. We are so honored that, because even with all the horrible statistics that are out there, once we pair a service dog with a veteran, we have never experienced a suicide or a divorce, which is pretty amazing when the statistics are so high.
Those are lives saved, yeah. So in September, there's an opportunity for people to help directly, right?
Correct. There will be a golf tournament being held by the Los Angeles chapter of the AUSA, which is the Association of the United States Army. They're having a big golf tournament and meal that day, which is a fundraiser for many causes, but we are one of their charities where they help raise money for California veterans that are in need of a service dog.
People can be part of the event?
Absolutely. Yeah. We invite them to come out. It'll be September the 25th, and you'll be able to meet some of our working teams there as well.
Oh, most of these dogs are beautiful German Shepherds, right? They're the ones that are most trainable for this mission.
Predominantly, mm-hmm. We have a few other things that come in occasionally, but we predominantly use German Shepherds. They mature early. They're very intelligent. They've got a great work ethic. They love having a job. They work very well for us.
It's great to see what you've been able to accomplish and how you have helped people over the years, many years, and will continue to do so. And so thank you for joining us, Carol.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having us.
Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs.